we're going to get right in here. We want to let you know, if you are interested in going to the Seder, they, for whatever reason, I don't know, they contacted me. They dropped the price from $30 to $20. And from $20 for the kids down to $10 or $15, I don't know. But they said anybody could go, even if people wanted to go up until that day, they would have plenty and not to worry about it. So if you have a friend or family member that might want to go, they can still go. And the prices have been dropped, okay? So we'll leave here next Tuesday at 6 o'clock. We'll leave from here. We will take the van, but I don't think we can get everybody on the van, but we'll try. Yes, I will, yeah. Okay, don't let me forget that, and I'll send it to you tonight. Okay, anything else? I want to thank everybody that came to the ladies' thing and made it a great success. And if you cooked or anything, well, we hope you had fun. It seemed like a lot of fun. It was a lot of good food, I know that. So we thank you for that. 28 ladies. We're in 1 John chapter 3, and we're in some what's called a rat's nest, but we're going to get through it. And 1 John chapter 3. Now, before we get started, remember, I don't want to tell you what I believe. What I want to do is just teach you what the Bible says. So I try to keep from promoting or persuading for what I believe, because a person can believe anything. And if you have somebody trying to teach you something that they believe, you need to be cautious. Also, always be cautious of someone who, what the Bible calls, wrestles the Scripture, okay? Now, a lot of the Bible's hard to believe. It's not hard to understand. You can read the King James Bible at a sixth grade level, okay? The NIV Bible reads at a ninth grade level, whenever they do the academical test on them, and that has something to do with the syllables of the words and stuff. But the big lie is, you know, get an NIV Bible so you can understand it. Well, you can understand the King James Bible on a sixth grade level, okay? And most of it's on a fourth grade level. There are a few passages that you just need to stay away from anyway, probably, that are different. But the problem people have is not so much understanding the words they're reading, is believing what they're reading. And so we don't try to change it, and I want you to have that in the forefront of your thinking tonight. We're not going to try to change it in any way, shape, or form, but it's going to be hard to believe. So 1 John chapter 3, verse 10. 1 John chapter 3, verse 10. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Well, Michael's not here, but that's a Michael double stop. You know, you got those children of the devil. Now, right off at the front here, what does that mean? Does that actually mean prodigy of the one we know to be the devil or Satan? Before we get any further, I want you to realize the Bible talks about many devils. There are many devils. There is one Lucifer who becomes Satan. The word Satan means adversary. So God has many adversaries. He has many Satans. But there is one entity who was created a cherub, who we know to be an adversary of the devil. And so in the Bible, a lot of times he's called Satan. Okay? He's also called the devil. But there are many devils. But this is talking about the specific devil. Is it talking about that they're actually the offspring of the devil? Or is it just a spiritual reference? Well, that's the thing that you'll have to decide, right? So in this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Okay? Verse 11. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning. The beginning of what? So if we go back to the beginning, as far as we know it, we would be going back to the creation of Adam and Eve. From the creation of Adam and Eve, you have the offspring of Cain and Abel. Okay? So if this is talking about the beginning, that's what the beginning is in this age, in this world age. Now, the actual beginning, you would technically go back to the creation. Genesis 1:1. Now, nobody knows when that was. It could have been a billion years before Genesis 1:2 or before the creation of Adam. We don't know how long. But in the beginning, it sounds like John's trying to say that this ideal of loving each other was some kind of commandment from God in the beginning of what we know to be this earth age. Well, is that a reference to God telling Cain and Abel to love each other? Or is this a reference to the beginning of something else? Well, like I said, do you make up your own mind? And the next verse might help you to understand what this verse means. Let me give you this little help. If you're reading the Bible, you read a verse, you don't quite understand it, read the next verse. A lot of times the Bible will explain itself. Maybe the next few verses, okay? So don't get hung up on a verse, but just make a note and keep that verse and ask God to give you the meaning. And if you'll keep reading, 9 times out of 10, the meaning will be right there, okay? So, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. 12. Not as Cain. See, that's why I wanted to reference that. Is this talking about the beginning? Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel? Well, I think it is. But we don't care what I think, right? What does it say? Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one. Now, is this just a reference for two brothers that didn't love each other? Is that why it was referenced? Or is he talking about the beginning being that time? Well, notice what it says. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Now here's the verse that will cause all of the rest of this study. It says that Cain was of the wicked one. That word "of" means a prodigy or a child or offspring. In the Greek, the word is offspring. Does it actually mean that Cain was the offspring of the wicked one, a reference to the devil? Or does it just mean that Cain was acting unrighteous because he didn't love his brother? Well, that's what you'll hopefully determine before you leave here. So, it says he came from, or it was the offspring of the wicked one. Let's go on to the next verse, verse 13. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Well, that's a pretty wordy group of scripture there. That you think, don't you really? I mean, let's just be honest. Don't you think that's a little harsh to say, to tie this to a murderer? But that word murderer kind of stands out when you're talking about Cain, who was the first murderer. Well, it's not to be taken literal, is it, that if you hate your brother, you've murdered him? Is that to be spiritualized? Well, did Jesus ever mention anything like this? Let's go to John 8 and let's see what Jesus said in a discussion with the Pharisees and Sadducees. He said, "Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil." Now, here you go again. That's the same phrase, of meaning an offspring or child. He tells the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, that you are of your father the devil. Now, here's what you have to decide. I'm not going to try to persuade you, because Lord knows I don't teach this at all. But boy, isn't it really interesting. This is a mystery, the Bible calls it. So you got to kind of come at it like Columbo, you know, and you just kind of keep asking all the questions. I'm not trying to persuade you in any way at all, but I mean, if you claim to be a Bible believer, that's what it says. But the question is, did he just mean that they were led by the devil? Because I believe that every person is led and inspired by spirits. Was he just referencing, was Jesus just, did he misspeak when he said that, or was he just kind of being liberal with his words? He just says you're of the devil because you're doing the devil's work. I don't know. It's what you're going to have to decide for yourself. You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. Now, is he claiming now that they're the descendants of Cain? Because Cain was the murderer from the beginning. You can't find anybody in this earth age, and especially in the beginning, that the devil murdered. You say, Adam and Eve? Oh, no, he didn't murder them. He's talked them into murdering themselves. Well, is that a reference to that? Well, that's not what it says. It says he was a murderer from the beginning. Well, maybe it's not talking about the beginning of this earth age. Maybe it's talking about in the pre-Adamite civilization on earth where he trafficked in human being lives. Maybe that's what it's talking about. I don't know. Let's go on. Jesus says, he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Wow, that's kind of a strange thing to tell some people on the earth. Now, of course, listen, we need to just stop right here. If you've misunderstood and you're going to leave out of here telling everybody that I teach this, I do not teach this. I got too much stuff I teach that people put me in a category of a nut. I just surely don't need another thing. I want you to know, I do not teach this. But man, ain't it interesting. The Bible doesn't come right out and plainly, doctrinally, say it, I don't think. But man, it sure seems to allude to it. Now, if you was to take the Bible for exactly what it said, word for word, it'd be pretty hard not to say it does. But, of course, I don't teach this. Now, let's go to Genesis 3:14. Now, I want to help you with some stuff tonight. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, okay, your whole life you've been taught that in the garden was this snake. You know, it usually looks like a python snake. And somehow this thing talks. And we don't have any reference to snakes talking, but maybe that was part of the curse. And then somehow it stood up, because part of its curse was that it would be on its belly. And it also gave Eve an apple. So somehow this serpent, without a set of arms and legs, was able to somehow give Eve an apple. I think you're misunderstanding the Bible. And what we need to do is let the Bible explain the Bible. This being is without a doubt a reference to the devil. Okay? He was not a serpent. He was created a cherub. And in Ezekiel 28, it tells you he wasn't just an old run-of-the-mill cherub, that there was five cherubs created, and he was the top, the one that was anointed to cover all the rest of the creation of God. Cherubs are not angels. They are a totally different creation. Angels look like men. There are no women angels, except at the dollar store, and that's all there is really shapely, long, blonde-headed women angels. In the Bible, those are called demons. And all the married men, just keep looking straight ahead. Don't say a word. But in the Bible, there are no female angels. I mean, they're just not. But an angel is a separate created being that God created, as far and different from a cherub as a human is from an angel. Matter of fact, the cherubs were created, and so were Adam and Eve. Let me go down this rabbit trail real fast. Now, I don't teach this. I'm just saying this is a road you might want to go down, because I've asked this question. We know that in Genesis 6, there's some angels that fell. The devil talked them into falling, coming to earth. Well, as far as we know, they had no reference to a female in their same looks. So when they came to earth, they were attracted to the female humans. When an angel leaves heaven and manifests on earth, they all manifest, they look like men. And when those angels manifested, they had the power to manifest on earth like they have several times in the Old Testament. When they had sex with the human women, then God didn't allow them to manifest and come back up into heaven. They were locked here on earth. And the Bible says, though you were little gods, gee, you're going to die like men. And some of them died of old age, and most of them was drowned out in the flood. And some of their punishment was that they had to watch their offspring devour each other. They were pure evil. It was one of the side effects of the hybrid breeding of an angelic being and a human being, that these beings were full of violence. They were cannibalism. They devoured themselves. They were violent above anything else that's recorded in the Bible. Would that be a side effect when you see Cain bashing his brother's brains in? I don't know. But when this union happened, something happened in the DNA. And we know now that if you have an animal with the tail ends off the DNA, that animal will grow until it dies. Those animals that don't have tail end caps are reptilian, like a snake. A snake will grow until it dies. A lizard, they grow until they die. They don't have cap ends on their DNA like most every other animal. So we have scientists have crossbred some animals, and if they get the animal to reproduce and make an animal like a tiger and a lion, when you get a liger, that animal doesn't have caps on its DNA, and those animals grow until they die. The one that's lived the longest now is up around 1,500 pounds. That's a big cat. And it's just one of the side effects. So you ask yourself, well, if Cain was the offspring child of Satan, why wasn't he a giant? Well, first of all, you don't know that he wasn't, but let's just assume that he wasn't. And that might be because, remember, the cherubs were created by God, and the Bible says that Satan himself, Lucifer, was the greatest creation that God had created. He was the sum of all knowledge and the sum of all beauty. And then Adam and Eve were direct creations from God. And maybe the DNAs were so close because they were all three created directly from God. Maybe you didn't get that giganticism in the union. I don't know. The problem was when fallen Adam and Eve have offspring and the angelic beings mated with them, it was a side effect, but not always. If you study the tribes that were in Canaan, they were all hybrids from the union of the fallen angels, but they weren't all gigantically tall and big. Some were of normal size. How be still hybrid? Now, if you know anything about breeding animals and stuff, and human beings, we're just an animal, right? Sometimes that gene is recessed. That doesn't mean they weren't hybrid people, but they didn't get the gigantic gene. Okay? Also, after the flood, the giants were prevalent again, but they kept getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. Okay? So, when it comes to David and Goliath, Goliath is, you know, there's an argument. Some people say the tallest that they say it could be was 13 feet. Most theologians say it was 9 feet. The Bible answer man, Hank Hanegraaff, said he was like 6'9". Well, Hank Hanegraaff, I don't know how he got his radio show, but he needs to be off the air. But anyway, the point is there's a lot of things there that you could worry about or whatever. I don't have the answers because, frankly, I don't teach this. I'm just giving you the scriptures, okay? And the Lord God said unto the serpent. So you say, well, it says he's a serpent. Well, go to Revelation 20. This serpent was a name. Okay? Look at Revelation 20. Now, I'll prove it to you. There are some things you can prove, right? And I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon. The dragon? What are you worried about a snake for when there's a dragon around? Matter of fact, in another place, the Bible said this dragon, it breathes fire. and it's got seven heads. Well, okay, all right. This dragon, that old serpent. Well, now make up your mind. Is it a dragon or is it a serpent? Or maybe those are just names. Why, this is a dragon, and that old serpent, which is the devil. Just in case you thought it was a snake. It's just a name. It runs all through the Bible. So when God wanted to epitomize Satan with the children of Israel, when they went acting like fools again, he sent serpents to bite and kill them. Remember? And so they're screaming, okay, we're sorry. We're really sorry this time, God. And God says, okay, then make a brass pole or a cross pole and put a brass serpent on there. And if they'll look at it, if they get bit, then they'll be healed. Well, why a serpent? Because it's the name of the devil, and it runs all the way through the Bible. And so then Jesus comes along and he says, just like Moses lifted up a serpent in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. Well, what is he doing? He's putting himself in place of a serpent on a pole that epitomizes Satan himself. So Jesus is telling them that he's going to take all the sin of all the world, all of history, past, present, and future, and he's going to epitomize sin as a serpent on a pole. But Jesus didn't become a serpent. But he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent, so shall I be lifted. So this is a name. It's a dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan. And he bound him 1,000 years. Now, if you will, go back up there to Genesis 3:14. Sorry, guys, where you just came. Okay, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle. Well, right there, you should say, well, serpents aren't cattle. Well, of course not. Serpents aren't cattle. But cherubs are cattle. Cherubs are in a very unique class of created beings. Cherubs are in the cattle kind. You say, what are you talking about? Cherubs have four faces, but their primary face of a cherub is an ox. Don't you think it's strange when cartoon people draw the devil? What do they put on his head? Horns. Why put horns on the devil? Thought he was a snake. When cartoon people draw the devil, what do they put on his hind end? What makes you think he's got a tail? That's because cherubs, they have four faces, but their primary cherub face is an ox. And their legs and feet are an ox. So, the Bible here says to the serpent, because thou hast done this, you curse above all cattle, and above every beast of the field, upon thy belly thou shalt go, the dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. So, he's called a serpent. But he's called a lot of things. And other people in the Bible are called a lot of things. For example, Judah is called the Lion of Judah, the standard for the tribe of Judah, the son of Jacob, one of the 12. His standard or his flag has a lion on it. And the Bible says Judah is a lion's whelp. Well, is he a lion? No. Dan, the tribe of Dan, was called a serpent. Was Dan a serpent? No, but the Bible wants you to tie him to the devil. Jesus called Herod the king a fox. Jesus called men dogs. And he called women pigs. Well, you know. Manasseh, the tribe of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, was a unicorn. So get it out of your head that there's some snake. The snake was his name, title. But it's tied to him throughout all of the Bible. And I said this one time, and a lady left this church, and she's never came back. I said, if you're a woman and you like handling snakes and you love snakes, there is something mentally and spiritually wrong with you, because the Bible says that ain't right. Well, after it's over, you know, she said that I was a fat idiot, and she loved snakes and snakes were great and all, and she was never coming back. And I said, good, because I'd be afraid you might try handling them snakes up in here. So go to 2 Corinthians 11, and you're going to see what the devil, he's a dragon. You say, you think he's a dragon? Yeah, I think he is somehow. I think he was created a cherub, but I think he's fell. Now, there's five casting downs of the devil, and at the last thing, I think he just looks like a man. I don't think he's a snake. I think he is represented by a snake. Watch this. Now, when he wants to come to earth, he can come to earth whenever he wants to. If you read the story of Job, God asked him, hey, where you been? He said, I've been in the earth going to and fro, seeing who I could mess up, devour, or whatever. Well, he can come and go as he wants. He still has access to the throne room of heaven. He still has access to earth. He can come and go. Now, about halfway through the tribulation, he gets cast to the earth where he can't go back up into heaven, but he'll be here on the earth. But when he comes on the earth, he doesn't come here as a seven-headed fire-breathing dragon. He doesn't come here as a snake. He comes here as a human being. He comes here and he manifests just like all the angels when they manifest. Paul said, you know, you ought to be nice to each other and love people, because you might entertain an angel and not know it. So, you know, he's kind of tongue-in-cheek saying, hey, just be nice to people because, you know, you might, you know, be hateful to an angel and they go back and rat you out to God, you know. But what he's saying is you wouldn't know it. Now, if angels were 800 feet tall like Oral Roberts said they were, or if angels had 800 or 900 wings like Muhammad said they did, I think you'd get some kind of idea that you was talking to somebody that wasn't an angel. Now, when I first got here 14 and a half years ago, I taught a whole series on angels, and there were some women here, and they was kind of tearing up after it was over, and they said, Pastor, we're sure that we seen an angel one time. And I said, really? How are you sure? And they said, oh, 3 or 4 years ago, we was driving out here, and there's about 3 foot of snow on the ground, and it was freezing cold. And we was driving down the road up there by the railroad tracks, and we seen this old lady in a coat, and she was walking down the road, and they said, we just drove on down here to church. And I said, you did what? And she said, we all got in here, and we got to talking about it, and we got all warmed up and everything, and somebody said, well, why didn't y'all pick that old lady up? And they said, well, we don't know. It was cold. And they said, well, why don't you go back up there and get her? And they said, we went back, and she wasn't there. I said, well, did you look in the ditch? Good Lord. Well, Tim Swyboden said he thinks he knows who she was. She used to walk to church, rain, snow, sleet, whatever. I think it's very, very rare, probably, but when an angel manifests on the earth, they look just like a man. Probably perfect age, 33-year-old man They're not going to be manifest as a baby. They're not going to be manifest as an old man. They're going to be manifest in some kind of perfect age, which probably is 33 and a half years old. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. In other words, they say they have a gift, the gifts of the apostles. They say they have a gift and they don't. For example, Benny Hinn, any faith healer. They claim they have the gifts of the apostolic gifts of the apostles and they don't. Benny Hinn couldn't heal a cricket of a sprained ankle. You can always ask yourself, if you had the apostolic gift of healing, would you set up a tent and take up an offering from a bunch of sick people? Or would you go to the hospital? Well, I mean, it doesn't take much. You don't have to be valedictorian of Matoka Baptist Church to figure this stuff out. They act like they're something they're not. So watch. And no marvel, shouldn't surprise you, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Now, a lot of people miss that because they think he's an angel anyway. But they think the emphasis is on he disguises himself. In the Greek, that's what that word transform means, to disguise himself as an angel of light, when in reality he's an angel of darkness. No, you've been deceived. He ain't no angel at all. When he comes to earth, now listen, you got to get this. He don't transform himself as an angel of light in heaven. When he comes to earth, he transforms himself into an angel of light, a messenger of light. And if you was to see him, you would think he was the most beautiful, handsome man you've ever seen. So what I believe and teach, in the Garden of Eden, he looked like a man. Watch. So he transforms into an angel of light, verse 15. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So if you wanted to go throughout the earth and find the ministers of the devil, where would you look? Church of Satan? No. They're disguised as ministers of righteousness. If you really wanted to search out and find the ministers of evil, of Satanism, of pure Satanism, where would you look? In the pulpits of the Christian churches. So, Satan's a cherub. That's a totally different creation than an angel. He was not ever an angel, nor ever will be an angel. But he disguises himself, transforms himself on earth as an angel that looks exactly like mankind, humans. Now, I know it's crazy to believe this, that Satan had sex with Eve. Now, and remember now, I don't teach this, but man, ain't it interesting. Look at Genesis 3:15. You know, it's just a wild idea, Satan having sex, right? And I will put enmity, that's a hatred, that's a violent word, a war, a hatred. Make you want to kill somebody. I will put enmity between thee and the woman. Now that's the scripture that I tried to tell that crazy snake lady that was here. You know, God said he put that there. If you've went around that somehow, or you've overcome that or something, that's not natural. And between thy seed and her seed. Well, hold the phone. The devil's got seed. That word there means spermzoid. It means offspring. It means children. It means prodigy. That's what it means. I know it's hard to believe, and I know you may not believe that, But that's what it says. Now, I think it's strange. This scripture, if you have a King James Bible, it's got a star by it because it's the first prophecy about Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, it's the first prophecy in the whole Bible. But hang with me a second. How long did it take for it to be fulfilled? Watch. He's going to put enmity between thy seed and her seed. Now, this is a reference to Christ on the cross. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Everybody says that's a prophecy, and I think spiritually it probably is a prophecy of the cross, but could it have been fulfilled physically with Cain and Abel? If Cain was of Satan's seed, that's the very next thing in this book, in this story, this enmity, this hatred. Now, I want to ask you scholars something. How did Cain kill Abel? Said hit him in the head. Hit him in the head with what? Hit him in the head with what? Look it up. Find it. But you've been taught your whole life you took a rock and bashed his brains in. I mean, I have been anyway. I think it says Cain rose up and killed his brother. Well, okay, in light of that bulletin, right? Now, then, once again, I do not teach this stuff. I would not dare teach it. Watch. I will put enmity between thee and the woman. Now, if Satan had impregnated her, and Adam had impregnated her too. There's a big long name for it. I used to have it memorized. I don't have it memorized no more. Now I can just explain it. This has happened thousands of times. It's probably happened more times than you can even imagine. But a woman, like any other mammal, can be impregnated over a week apart from different men. We had a neighbor one time. And he had a beagle female. Now, if you know anything about dogs, beagle females are probably the loosest in the female dog world. A beagle female will have a litter with anything running the streets. And I promise you, this beagle female had 6 puppies. And I looked at my neighbor and I said, she's trifling. She had 2 beagles. She had 2 rat terriers, and she had 2 German shepherds. She had 2 dogs slick-haired. She had 4 dogs long-haired. She had 2 puppies about that big when she had them, and she had 2 puppies that big. I said, she'd been running the streets. Well, if this hypothesis is true, which is very, I mean, it happens all the time. I read a story about a woman that had, and her husband didn't know it. And let's just be honest. The men species, when it comes to women, they just don't have any sense whatsoever. But this guy didn't know it. But he had a Caucasian. He was Caucasian. And he had his wife had triplets. She had a Caucasian baby. She had a baby that was black skinned, and she had a baby that was very apparent Oriental. She might have been a beagle. But it happens, you know. So if that hypothesis is right, and Satan was the father of Cain, and Abel was the father of, Adam was the father of Abel. Look at this verse in light of that. Because you got no scripture, Cain hits him with a rock. Watch. And I will put enmity or a hatred that make you want to kill somebody between thee and the woman. And between this enmity, between thy seed. Well, if Cain was his offspring, that's what that word means, offspring. Well, is the devil's seed to come later? Are you wild enough to believe that, of course, Cain wasn't the offspring of the devil, but the ones that crucified Christ were? You're going to have to find them someplace. And between thy seed and her seed. Now, women don't have a seed. That's for sure. You know, we know. They got eggs. How about that, Eddie? Did you bring me some more eggs? Anyway, but women can have a seed. You with me? Women don't have a seed, but they can have a seed. That's what this reference is. I'm going to put a hatred between your seed, your offspring, devil, and some male offspring of hers. Well, spiritually, 4,000 years later, that could sure be a reference to Christ. But in light of what you've just discovered, look at it this way. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Could it be that Cain's heel got scuffed up when he stomped his brother's head? Now, of course, I hope you understand, I am not teaching that at all. I'm just throwing it out there. Because I certainly don't know. But it's very clear that he has seed. So if you say, that's too wild, I don't believe Eve would do that to poor Adam. And, well, then you've got to find some seed somewhere. It's offspring or children. So, look at verse 16. In light of what you just read, look at the very next verse. What's the very next verse talk about sex for? Sex. Thought we was eating apples. What's a God-forsaken apple got to do with conception? And why is part of her curse and punishment got to do with sex? Why would... You can't turn the TV on. Every show on the TV is about sex and violence. Sex and violence. Sex and violence. This is the very next verse. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband. Now let's just be honest. Why do people get married? Isn't that a strange thing for the very next thing to come out of his mouth? And he shall rule over thee. I'm not trying to lead you down no primrose path to believe what I believe, because I wouldn't want to do that. It's crazy. Now, the very next thing you find is the two brothers, and Cain murders him. Makes Cain, in this age, the first murderer. Let's go back a little bit to Genesis 3:7. I don't know if this is keeping you awake, but it keeps me awake at night. And the eyes of them both. Now, whatever happened, happened, okay? Let's say they ate an apple, right? So they ate an apple, and they knew that they were naked. Anybody in here ever ate an apple while you were naked? What do the two have to do with each other? Well, absolutely nothing. But whenever, whatever happened, somehow disclosed to them that they were naked and that that was a bad thing. Whatever happened, the result was they knew that nakedness brought about sin. And they sewed fig leaves together. That's because fig leaves are big. And made themselves COVID masks because they're eating apples. No, they primarily made themselves aprons. Now, if any of you is in here a mason, first thing you do when you become a mason is they get you an apron made. And your apron covers up your private parts. And if you're a mason, why don't you stand up and tell us what they told you about your little apron? And if you're in here and you're a Mormon, they started Mormonism when the secrets of masonry were still secret, and they got their own little aprons. And they look just like the Masonic aprons. And they don't cover your face. They cover your male parts. Isn't that strange? Don't you think it's strange that there's a bunch of men in Barnesville, Oklahoma, and 90% of them in Barnesville would claim to be Christians, going to a Masonic lodge, worshiping pure Satanism with an apron on? Don't you think it's strange that the Shriners in Tulsa have a Shriner building worth several million dollars that's built like a old ancient Middle Eastern Muslim holy place? And on their little stuff, on their boots and their belt buckles and their pins and stuff, is everything Muslim, with the star and the crescent moon and the Muslim sword. Why do oil men and cattlemen in Tulsa, Oklahoma, like Roy Rogers, the Shriners presented him with a pair of boots one time, and it had that Shriner emblem on the boots, on the cowboy boots, you know, cowboy boots, and you got cow poop on them and stuff, and then you got a Muslim, Middle Eastern Shriner. Crazy. Why'd they make an apron? Well, I don't know. I wouldn't know. Now, here's the problem, because I got to give you all of it. Here's the problem, Genesis 4:1, okay? So Genesis 4:1 and 2, watch this. And Adam knew his wife, and that word knew means to know a woman sexually, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Well, it kind of looks like that's pretty clear that Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. But it doesn't pinpoint it, because look at the next verse. And again she bare and she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And that she again bare means she continued to bear. In the bearing that she was bearing, she continued and had another kid. So she did not have two conceptions. She had one conception from, but she had two births. So that's what the Bible does. Okay? She continued to bear. So the Bible does that to you. Like I said, I wouldn't dare teach this because the Bible's not explicitly clear on this doctrine, but boy, don't it allude to it. Well, I want to show you something. Genesis 5 is known for a lot of things. It's an unbelievable chapter. It's the genealogy of Adam, okay? Because from umbilical cord to umbilical cord, you can trace from Adam to Jesus Christ, okay? You can do that partially because of Genesis chapter 5. But I want you to see something. Cain is not in Adam's genealogy. Now, does it say in a verse, Cain is not listed because he's of the devil? Well, you got other verses that says he was of the devil, but in Genesis it doesn't say that, but he's not in there. Now think about it. You say, well, of course he's not in there. He killed his brother. Well, that doesn't disqualify you from a genealogy. Then you say, well, the genealogy to Jesus came through Seth. And Abel was murdered. So that's the reason why it's just from Adam to Seth. Could be. Could very well be. And Cain was just excluded because he had killed his brother. That could answer it all. But it is strange. What about Cain's children and grandchildren and stuff? They're not listed in Adam's lineage. Nowhere in the Bible. Watch. Genesis 5:1. This is the book of the generations. Generation after generation after generation. Genealogy of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him, Adam. Male and female created he them. They were both created by God. Adam out of the dirt. Eve out of something of Adam's. And he blessed them and called their name Adam. They were Mr. and Mrs. Adam. In the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness. Now remember, I always teach this. You're not made in God's likeness. Mankind, human beings are not made in God's likeness. All these devil worshiping, God defiling pigs running around. Well, you got to be kind to this person. They're in God's likeness. No, they're not. They're created in Adam's likeness. They're fallen. There used to be a little girl that come to church here named Kelly and Esther's daughter, Camille. She went to Wesleyan. And I taught this, and she come up here and asked me about it, and I taught it to her. She went back to the Wesleyan Bible teacher in high school, and she said it blowed his head off. And so he said, who told you that? And she told him my name, gave him my phone number, and he said he had never even saw that before. Well, yeah, you got to read your Bible. You got to read your Bible. Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness. Now, what's his likeness now? It's not like God. He's got a dead spirit. And Adam's dying. God's not dying. Adam's dying. He's about to die. He's got a few more 100 years, but he's going to be dirt again. So he produced a child in that likeness after his image. Well, his image wasn't like it was when he was created. And he called his name Seth. Okay? Seth is the third son mentioned. No mention of Cain in Adam's genealogy. Not Cain, not any of his offspring, are never mentioned in the Bible in the line of genealogy of Adam. You can determine why. I don't know. So you say, well, did Jesus ever say anything like that, other than what I read you in John 8, where he said, you're of the devil? That's pretty clear, but let's look at Matthew 13. Matthew 13:24, and we're almost done. Hang in there. Matthew 13:24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven, there you go again. Now this is pertaining to the earth. And a kingdom to come. We call it the millennial reign of Christ. Every Jew there's all ears listening. Oh, they think it's about to come. So this has to do with the people on the earth. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. The wheat has a golden wheat on the top. The tare, it's called Zimpion or something like that. It's poison. It has a black little berry thing. And it's poison. There's the difference. The bread of life, poison. So the servants of the household came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then has it tares? Huh. He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Well, what time? I taught you this the last couple of weeks. What time is the time of harvest? When he comes back. He comes back to harvest. Okay. We're going to skip down to verse 34. Matthew 13:34. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitudes in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them. Well, you say, that's not fair. Well, he's already called them the children of the devil. What for? That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Now, that's a little nugget. You don't have to believe what I'm trying to say tonight. And remember, I'm not teaching this at all. But in the parables, you can most certainly should be able to find something that was kept secret until Jesus told a parable about it. Did you see what it says? He says, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Well, what was kept secret until Jesus makes up a story about it? Oh, I know. That a woman lost a coin. Women lose coins all the time. Oh, I know. That one guy's son played a fool and went off and spent a bunch of money at the casino. I know that happens all the time. Watch. Then Jesus sent the multitudes away. Okay? All he has is his disciples. And went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. Now, put yourself in their shoes. If you didn't have the Bible and you hadn't heard these parables 1,000 times, but most of the time you've heard them wrong 1,000 times, then you wouldn't look down at them. You might have difficulty understanding what Jesus is trying to say if you didn't have the ending where he explains it and you didn't have heard them your whole life. I mean, he answered and he said unto them, okay, hold it, time out. Here's the problem most people have. They still think he's telling a parable. The parable is over. This is not part of the parable. This is the explanation. So the parable is something physical that's used in a spiritual meaning to get a spiritual ideal. This is not part of the parable. This is him telling you what those pieces mean. So get that out of your head. So this is what he says. He answered and said to them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. That's a reference to him, God. The field is the world. Remember, the kingdom of heaven is in this world, right? The good seed are the children of the kingdom. Those that are going to be in the millennial reign, the kingdom, children of God. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. Now you can say, well, that don't mean they were actually offspring. They were just mean and evil people. And if that's what you believe, great. More power to you. I'm not trying to tell you what to believe. I'm just reading what it says. If you could go back to that, Kenny 38. What does it say? The tares are the children of the wicked one. Now, I'll be honest with you. I don't really like doing this. Because if what I'm saying is right, you're not the only ones listening. If what I'm putting forth out here has been a secret until Jesus come along, and it's still kept a secret because people got a bag over their head, then there's somebody else listening as well. Watch. The field's the world. The children are the children of the wicked one, the tares. 39. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. This ain't the parable. This is the explanation from the God that dreamed up the story. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. Now the harvest, remember I told you, is the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels. They're going to get them all together. Ain't that what they're doing? The United Nations, the Ecumenical Union, everything's coming together. One world. This little cough, it brought the whole world together. You've never seen in the history of the world come together like it did over a cough. And you, they raped you. They took your hard-earned money and paid for a medical shot for people all over the world. Well, when did... They didn't ask me. I wouldn't have paid for nobody else to have the medical procedure. I'm pretty much convinced the only pill you need is the gospel. But they did. They took your money. They took my money. They took the world's money that don't mean anything anymore. And the United States, when did the United States become everybody's daddy? And paid for all of these shots. I read an article the other day. There's billions of dollars that was lost because the shots weren't handled correctly. And they were sent to Africa. And it's 480 degrees in the shade. And the shots had to be kept in sub-zero. But they still took your money. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. They're gathering them, bundling them together. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. It's a different kingdom. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Go to Matthew 23, verse 29, and we're almost done. Here we go. Matthew 23:29. Here we go. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, Jesus speaking, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. They killed every one of them. Jesus said, now you build them sepulchers and you put headstones on their graves, and your fathers killed them, every one. Watch what he says. You said, if you would have been back there, you wouldn't have done that. Wherefore, you be witnesses unto yourself that you are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill you up then the measure of your fathers. What he's saying is there's a direct prodigy genealogy line from those people that killed the prophets right to the Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes of his day. Ye serpents, there you go. Ye generation, you offspring, you genealogy of vipers. How can you escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them you shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall you scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Barachiah, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. Wow, got one verse left. What about the Apostle Paul? Did he say anything about this? Look at 2 Corinthians 11, verse 1. 2 Corinthians 11, 1, the Apostle Paul. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly. He said, you know, I'm playing around with you here. And indeed, bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband. Now, everybody know what espouse means. It means you're engaged. You are engaged to a spouse. You've been espoused to one husband. Right? That I may present you as a chaste virgin. Now, hang on there. I looked that up today. I'm like, well, that's kind of overkill, ain't it? I mean, you're either a virgin or you're not. Well, what's a chaste virgin? A chaste virgin means pure, and virgin means that you haven't had sexual intercourse. So you could actually be a virgin but not be pure. Is that clear? But what Paul said is, I am jealous. I wanted to engage you or espouse you to Christ as a pure virgin, waiting on your marriage, the marriage of the Lamb. So this is what he says, that I may present you as a pure virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now, if you look at that, as the serpent beguiled is a Greek word that means to totally and completely, wholly seduce sexually. Now, once again, I do not teach this, but it is odd that he would tie, I want to present you as a pure virgin, but I'm afraid you're going to get corrupted, just like Eve was totally sexually seduced by the serpent. You're going to get corrupted. That's for you to decide, right? I fear lest by any means, as the serpent totally and completely sexually seduced Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So, I've kept you too long already. I want you to know, unequivocally, I do not teach this. But man, ain't it interesting? So what does it mean? Well, it means a lot of things. It kind of opens up a whole bunch of the Bible. Kind of gives you an idea of what Jesus was confronting in Jerusalem. When you get down this study, you'll find the descendants of Cain are called Kenites. There's only one man I've ever heard teach on it, Arnold Murray. And the Kenites were descendants of Cain. They are probably the smartest people on the planet. They run everything. They claim to be Zionist Jews. I want to leave you with this. So at the first of the book of Revelation, and we're almost there, we're going to get there and stay there for a while, Jesus Christ writes seven letters to seven churches. There are two churches that he doesn't have something bad to say about. Those two churches, in Revelations 2 verse 9 and in Revelations 3 verse 9, you can read it. He makes the same compliment or acclimate about those churches, that they understood that those that claimed to be Jews in Jerusalem at that time were not Jews, but were of the synagogue of Satan. The two churches that he applauded had that one thing in common. They knew who they were dealing with. Interesting. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for all the miracles we've seen throughout this week. Thank you for our mate John and his great report today. We just ask that you continue to heal his body and make him ever with whole. We just thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.